book of 1 Kings 19. If we could just reverence the Word of God for a moment and stand. 1 Kings 19. I'm going to run you through the Bible a little bit tonight. We're going to end up in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, so that's the final. And we're going to start with 1 Kings 19. I want to talk a little bit tonight about the amazing grace of God and maybe go about it in a direction that you wouldn't think about. If I was to ask you to give me a definition of grace, what would you say?
Undeserved love.
Undeserved favor. We've heard GRACE stand for God's riches at Christ's expense. All those are great examples, but I'm not really sure we really get a good tie of what that means. How many of you seen the movie about John Newton that wrote Amazing Grace? How many seen that movie? That's a good idea of a grace, and he wrote that song as a result of what took place in his life. But I think we can find grace even in David slaying Goliath. And I want to look at some things in the Scripture that will hopefully help you with some of this. In the book of 1 Kings 19, not to bore you with all the details, but we know Elijah had prayed for fire to be sent down from heaven, and all these prophets of Baal were killed. And then the very next day, we find out that Jezebel is wanting Elijah's head, and Elijah runs over 100 miles in a different direction to get away from Jezebel, actually stands under a tree and asks God to take his life. Verse number 5, the Bible starts here and says this, 1 Kings 19:5, "And as they lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights, unto Oreb, the Mount of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we pause again thanking you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Lord, tonight if we were just to close the service now, we'd just thank you for the one who accepted you tonight as Savior. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that was given for that young one to hear the Word tonight. And Lord, we just pray that we'll never be bored or tired of working with these young people, but Lord, we'll always realize the significance that they need to hear about Jesus. And Lord, give us the ability to be able to get the gospel to them. Lord, I pray tonight for the next few moments that you might, through your Spirit, direct these words to our heart. And we thank you for all you will do tonight in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. A lot of times, personally, when I'm going through different things in my life, I look for Scripture that will help me through those times. Since I've been going through this little problem with the eye, I have been searching Scripture for my own benefit, not for yours, but for mine. Found some things this week I thought I would share with you that I got. And how many of you ever get frustrated with things that's going on? And, well, to me, frustration to me is a horrible thing. I got things I want to do but can't do because of physical reasons. And I don't get mad, but I get frustrated. And I think there's a line between mad and frustrated. Y'all agree with that? And so frustration to me is a hard thing. And I read some Scripture this week I believe that helped. I do believe Elijah was a frustrated man. I don't think he was necessarily scared, but I think he was frustrated because he'd done all these things and he got and showed his power, but yet Jezebel didn't get the message. And because of that, I think he was frustrated because she didn't get the message and she still wanted him dead, and he ran and he began to think, what's the use? And God showed him what the use was. But what I really noticed about this message, and I've noticed a lot of times, was verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 tells us that the angel of the Lord, which I believe was Jesus himself, a lot of times we see the angel of the Lord in the Bible, and I believe this was one of those cases that it was probably Jesus himself. And the Bible tells us, told him to eat because the journey was too great for thee. I believe tonight, you and I are on a journey that you and I can't make. It's a journey that physically you and I can't do. I think Elijah's journey was something he couldn't do. And I think the first thing you ever got to realize in your life is God's going to ask you to do some things that you're not capable of doing in the flesh. Physically, you can't do these things. Joseph's just getting into the ministry, and it's not going to be long, I don't believe, till he's going to get a call about pastoring. And I want him to understand, as well as you all, there's things that you can't do. There's things that he's going to be asked to do that he physically can't do. But we're reminded of what Philippians says, I can do all things, what? Through Christ. And I think in our lives, God, sometimes or another, has to get our attention back on him and realize, see, I don't know about you all, but I get going on automatic pilot after a while. I kind of make plans, I get things going, and you know what God seems to do always when I got things running the way I want them to be running? You know what God does? He messes with that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How, you know, things are going the way you want, and then God messes with it. But I want to tell you, He messes with it for a good reason. He wants you to get your mind back on Him and realize you can't do this. So we make all these plans. We get our planners out. Rochelle's mom, she's one of these planners, and she bought me a planner, and I've been making plans. But you know what? God can mess with plans. And I think He enjoys messing with plans. And I seen Elijah here, and he had all these big plans, Miss Vicki, but God messed with it. And he got frustrated, and he found himself just saying, you know what? He said, isn't it enough? And I think what he was saying is, God, I've done my part. Let me go. And God said, no. You don't get it. And so he fed him. And what was really neat about what the meal was, the Bible said, he ate and he drank, and he went in the strength of that meat, how long? 40 days. Now, I got my map out. I even done some research, and this is what I found out. He was 7 days away from Mount Oreb. Now, anybody tell me, by the way, what happened on Mount Oreb? Y'all heard that before. This is the same area where Moses had met with God after he got the Ten Commandments. And Moses was hiding. Remember how Moses hid in the rocks and God passed by? Well, I think the very place where Moses probably hid, if you do your research, you'll find out, is probably the same place Elijah's going to end up in this mountain, in this cave, and he's going to see God come by. Well, here's what happened. He's 7 days away, but the Bible said he went in the strength of that meat how many days? Here's what I want you to see before we move on out of this chapter. Elijah thought he had 7 days to go, and God knew he had 40. And so God gave him what it was going to take to get how many days? 40. Now I'm going to ask you all a question, because I got to get you thinking with me. How many of you think that Elijah got hungry before 40 days was up? Thank you, John. I'm with you, brother. I think Jesus was hungry when he was tempted in the wilderness. And I think that's why Satan said, turn the rocks to bread. Because I think he was hungry. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you're hungry, but you don't have to eat. And I think in Elijah's case, he went 40 days on what he just ate. And I believe he got hungry, Brian. But God sustained him, and he was able to go even through the hunger. And I guess that's what I wanted to get to. When we're done, I think you'll see how all this ties in. But I think sometimes when we see these things happen by God, that we think He took away the hunger and He went 40 days without being hungry. Well, that'd be wonderful, but I don't believe that's how it happened. I believe the meat sustained Him 40 days, but I believe He got hungry. And I'll tell you how I can get that to conclusion when we get to the end. So let's flip a little bit. Go with me to Deuteronomy. I just want to read one verse here, because this is the verse that got me started. Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. How many's got a verse in their memory but you don't know where it's at? Or a piece of a verse? I've got a bunch of those. And I don't know if it's just getting older or what, but I can't find half of them. I know them. I can quote part of them, but I can't find them. And so I got this thing on my iPhone that I can give it part of the verse and it'll show me the rest of the verse. Praise the Lord for iPhones. I'd be in trouble. But I knew there's a verse in the Bible that says, as your days are, so shall your strength be. I looked everywhere. I thought God told that to Joshua. I could not find it. And through looking for that, I found all these other verses. But I finally found it in Deuteronomy 33. Moses is dying. I think what's really cool about Moses dying, if you'll read about Moses' death, when Moses died, the Bible said he stood up straight, his eyes were still great and strong, but he died. He went up on a mountain to die, actually, what the Scripture tells us. But these are like the last words of Moses, and he's getting all these tribes together, and he's telling them things. And this is what Moses says in verse 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. I believe these people were taught that. I think they were taught that by example. They've been fed with the manna from heaven. And I think the whole lesson about manna, it was simple this. You get today what you need today. And well, I want you to understand, when we read in 1 Kings a while ago, Elijah didn't get what he needed that day that's going to last 40 days. It just happened to last him 40 days. But I believe every day he had to seek God for something. And when God didn't give it to him, John, he went on in the strength of that meat. And, you know, I believe, how many days can you go and not get hungry? I'm curious. I'm like John, I'm kind of a grazer. I Rochelle gets frustrated at me because after we eat supper, like an hour later, I'm piffing through cabinets, cereal, something. I like graze all day long. I don't eat a lot when I eat, but I eat all day long. And so I can imagine, I've went 24 hours fasting before and praying. And I'm telling you, be honest with you, I got hungry. Wish I could tell you, I fasted and never got hungry. But I got hungry. And I'm telling you, I think Elijah, after one day, 2 days, I believe he started asking God for food. And he'd pray, Lona, but he never got no food. And what he found out was that for 40 days, God sustained him only maybe 40 days ago. But he didn't know he was going to last that long. You and I don't know what God's given us on Sunday that may be good on Thursday. Does that make any sense? So we eat every day so we can live one day at a time. But realistically, what we've ate today may be for Saturday. We just, God may drag it out and say, well, I needed that. So what I read here is, our days are, so shall our strength be. I don't think we'll ever not have sufficient to make it through what we need to make it through. Now, I believe this ties into Isaiah, so let's just go there, and we'll get my favorite scripture out of the way. Isaiah 40, verse 29, 30, and 31. We're quickly moving. We'll get done early tonight, looks like. Y'all are excited about that. Isaiah 40, verse 29. I'm looking at this scripture even in a new light. Verse 29 says, He giveth power to the faint. Now remember what we said fainting was. What is fainting? Not just passing out, but giving up hope, right? And kind of throwing in the towel is fainting. He giveth power to the faint. I think those people that's ready to give up, God will give them what they need not to give up. Then He goes on to say this, and to them that have no might, He increaseth what? Their strength. Even the youth shall what? I think this is a real good scripture. Even the youth shall be weary and faint. See, I went through most of my life healthy. I mean, I had little bumps. When I got the chicken pox, Debbie's chicken pox was worse than mine, am I right? When I got my sister got double what I get. I mean, I just went through life not hardly sick. And when I got sick, I just thought I'd get over it. And in 2003, when I had open heart surgery, I just thought, and I was told by other people, this is just a bump in the road. But I'm telling you, it's been a big bump. But here's what I'm learning. God just didn't tell me that it was going to be easy, and He didn't tell me you'd get over it. See, I like to get over stuff. And I tell people, get over it. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned about the Scripture. If I believe what I've read through the Scriptures, and I'm even reading some of these passages more often now, I don't think we get over some things. And I really don't think it's about getting over. I think there's people who's lost loved ones who's never got over it. And I tell you this, I don't think they'll ever get over it. Rochelle's grandma, we've kind of done the math. She's a pretty young lady when her grandfather died. When Rochelle's grandfather died, her grandma was kind of a young lady. But I don't think she ever got over that. She never even thought about marrying it, or looking or talking about it. I mean, when he was dead, me and Shelby had been married 30 years, and he's dead long before I ever come on the scene. So she went 30-some years without her husband. But I don't think she ever got over that. But I don't think the Bible says, Beth, you've got to get over it. And I think that's what I've learned a lot more about some things. And I found out, when you're young, maybe you depend on your strength, Mike. And, we got our strength, we can do all this. But you know what? Little by little, our strength goes, doesn't it? But what God says, even young people lose their strength. Even young people get weary. And this is what He says. Young men shall early fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? We read this all the time, but I hope we can get it tonight. The strength's already there. If I believe what I've read in Deuteronomy, my strength's already there. What does it mean to renew my strength? It means just to remind myself what was there. Does that make any sense? If God already got it for me, and He didn't change it, He didn't take it away and give it back and take it away and give it back. It's been there all the time. Because He said in Deuteronomy, as thy days are, so shall thy strength be. So my strength is there, but you know what? Sometimes I don't realize it. Does that make any sense? Your strength can be there, but you don't see it. And I think what He's telling you, they didn't wait upon the Lord. What happens when you wait upon God? You start remembering who God is, and you start thinking. Now let me give you a pause here for a second. Wake you up. I think when David went out and slew Goliath, I think he did it in the strength of the Lord. I think when Elijah prayed for fire to come down from heaven and light up the altar, and then he killed the prophet of Baal, I think he did that in the strength of the Lord. Don't you all? I believe all that. Now, if I believe all that, let's go now to 2 Corinthians 12 and try to get the end of it then. 2 Corinthians 12. Isn't it amazing how when you're reading the Bible, everything starts, you start thinking of other verses and trying to put them together? Here's Paul. I read you all that other stuff to bring you to Paul, because Paul's going to do something that you and I do. Verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there is given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." When I read that, I'm reminded what Paul said. This is what he said. "I was taken up into the third heaven, and I saw things that wasn't lawful for me to share with anybody." So Paul said he didn't know if he was dreaming it. He didn't know if it was a vision, John. He didn't know if he was physically taken there. But Paul got to go to heaven. And because he got to go to heaven, God caused some things to happen in his life to keep him on the ground a little bit. And He even said it this way, "The messenger of Satan to buffet me." I think you and I would be well to understand tonight that some of the problems that we have in our life is because Satan is attacking us. You and I are prime candidates for Satan's attacks. Amen. And I think the more you try to do for God, the more Satan wants to attack. Let me say this up front. I don't believe Satan can attack you unless God allows him to. So believe it or not, this crazy preacher here believes that Satan's getting permission, Karen, to attack you. But I believe it that way. I believe it how it says in Job. I do think he's going up and down to and fro. I think he's looking around. I think Satan is like that roaring lion looking for the weak. I think if you've watched any kind of Animal Planet channel, you see the lions are not looking for the healthiest, fastest. They're looking for the oldest, sickest. Right? And I think that's exactly how Satan works today. He's walking about. He's going to and fro. He's trying to find the weak. Those who are not reading their Bibles much. Those who are not praying much. Those who are losing their faith. And that's who they want to attack. But here's a good deal. God doesn't just allow them to have them. See, if he's picking the weak ones out of the herd, he wouldn't have got Job. Am I right, Greg? Job wasn't the weak one of the herd, was he? Sometimes, and I think this is good, even though Satan's like a roaring lion wanting to get you, doesn't mean God's going to let him have you. Because he's promised you in 1 Corinthians, he wouldn't let you be placed upon you more than you can handle. So, Satan wants to attack you, but God has to allow it. But here's the deal. If I believe anything I've told you not, I believe this is the deal. I don't believe Satan can attack you in a way that you don't already have a way to get out of it. And you already have, believe it or not, the strength to get through it. You just may not know it. I don't think when David left home to take food, and if you read that, he was taking cheese sandwiches. Basically what the Bible's saying. He's taking cheese sandwiches to his brothers. I don't think when he left home he thought, I'm going to kill a giant today. Do you all? Here's what I do believe. I believe God knew he was going to kill a giant that day. And I believe God had already supplied with what he had to have to kill a giant. Y'all agree with that? So I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow, nor do you. But here's the deal. God's already gave us what we've got to have to get it. Don't. Now here's what he says that ties this together for me. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. I believe Paul prayed for God to take it away. Can I tell you a secret? I pray for God to take my stuff away. How many of you be honest and say you prayed God to take it away? I've asked God to take it away from other people. Not even from myself. But you know what? I'm finding more times than not, Anita, he don't take it away. But it don't stop me from asking. I keep asking. Now here's what it says. My grace, for he said unto me, verse 9, for my grace is sufficient. Now, I got to ask you a question. I need you to tell me what the word sufficient means. I heard enough. I'm glad somebody got that out. Somebody else throw another word out.
All you need.
All you need. Woo, Deb, you're so close to the answer. Woo. How many of you ever heard of adequate? I looked this up, and there's words that mean the same as sufficient. And those words are enough and adequate. But that really doesn't explain what sufficient is. We just gave another word for it. Now, I looked up the word enough. Guess what I found out the word enough means? Meet the needs of. What about adequate? To meet the need of. Now, what do you think sufficient means when they looked it up? Exactly what you needed. Now see, I think adequate could be this way, Brother Richard. I think if I needed to make sure everybody had a piece of paper, I could tear them off a piece and I could make this be adequate for everybody. That doesn't mean it was like abundant or anything. But see, when you read the sufficient goes more than adequate and even more than enough. Sufficient is like abounding. And what the Bible says, my grace is sufficient, what we find out is God has given us so much that we can go even more than what we think we can. And that tied me back into that meat that Elijah ate that day. He went how many days in that one meal? That's sufficient. Adequate would have been one day. Enough would have been, he's hungry. Enough. You ever sit down and had enough? Did that take you forever? Maybe God could have got home. A lot of times we'll eat here and I stop and get a candy bar on the way home. I'm so thankful for fast convenience stores. They're great. Mountain Dews and I got hooked on Clark bars. Y'all know what Clark bars are? Can't find them everywhere. When you find one, it's good. It's just throw back Mountain Dew and a Clark bar and everybody's all right. Here's what he said. My grace is sufficient for thee. For thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, boy, I have misunderstood this. I've always looked at this, and I even said something to Rochelle the other day. I said, well, I guess God needs me to go. They told me if this eye test comes back negative, then I probably got to go to Cincinnati and have some eye tests done. And maybe even, they even mentioned like spinal taps. That sounds painful to me. And I told Rochelle, I said, you know, probably God got somebody needs to be talked to in Cincinnati, so I guess I got to go through all this. I'm serious, that's what I think. I'm reading this week, Vic, it ain't what he said. It really don't have anything to do about anybody in Cincinnati. If I read what I think I've read, he said, my grace is sufficient for what? For thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon... Huh? You know what? Paul said this is for him. All this junk I'm going through, Paul says, is for me. Now, as a result of Paul being blessed above measure and getting the sufficient grace that God's got, above all of that, sure, he might be able to witness somebody, and sure, they probably will get saved. But don't forget this was for Paul. He's the one who was asking for help. See, we forget about what he tells us in Hebrews 13. I'll never leave you or forsake you. God loves you. And when he saves you, he just don't want to put you through something, Anita, so you can help somebody else. He loves you. Now, sometimes he puts things on us that seems like it's too much to bear. And we pray for it to be taken away. But here's what I've learned. God says, when I'm done blessing you from what you got, you're going to love me more. That makes sense. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When you see the words of that song, you understand more what this man was thinking. See, he saved a wretch like who? He said me. It was about him. Grace is about him. Grace is about you, John. God wants to give you grace for John. Sure, it may help Mary, it may help Vicky, and it may help Rochelle. But it's really for you. And Elijah went in the strength of that meat. Who went in the strength of that meat? Elijah did. Why? Because he needed that. See, God gives us what we need when we need it. And I think we should never forget it. Because if it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, I'm going through this so I can do this. But realistically, I'm going through this because God wants me to. And there's a reason for that. And because of that, God's going to do something big for me. And through this, I'll know God better. Through this, He's closer. Through this, there's a lot of things. What's happening to me is frustration. Because I can read about 20 minutes and I get a headache, my eye gets blurry, and I can't read anymore. And I take some pills and I come back in an hour and try to read and can't. That frustrates me. But you know what? Here's what God said. I'm going to give you enough to get you through this day. Y'all read that? Sufficient strength for sufficient days. That's what He said. Don't worry about tomorrow. I even read that verse. If you want to go back and read, I think it's Matthew the 6th chapter, the last verse. He says, well, let's just read it. I can't quote it. I probably could have before church, but I can't now. You got time for one more, don't you? Matthew 6, the last verse.
Take therefore no thoughts for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here's what God said for a coffee. God says, there's enough bad things going to happen to you today. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. That's Steve Meek's version, Brother Luke. You can have it. That's exactly what he said. You've got enough evil today. You don't have to say it for me. Fret and stress and worry what's going to happen tomorrow. You've got enough today. Now, you all been worried about tomorrow, haven't you? Some of you have. I wouldn't have to preach this message tonight if some of you wouldn't have been worried about tomorrow. I was one of them. I'm worried about, well, what these test results will be like. You know what you know what could happen? We could get raptured out of here before Friday. Huh? Is anybody against that? I'm all for it. All in favor, let's stand. This voted on. I don't know if this goes anywhere in heaven or not, but I think he just recognized we're all ready. Now here's what he said. You got enough to worry about today. Don't think about tomorrow stuff. It's sufficient. So if sufficient means sufficient for the grace, then it's going to be sufficient for the evil. We got enough evil coming our way. But here's what God says. I'm going to give you sufficient grace as well to give you the strength you need to get through this. And when you're weak, I'm strong. Now, I believe that we can rest on that tonight. I don't know about you all. It took me 3 days to get all this together. It should have took me a half a day. But you know what? God taught me a lesson. You get a little bit every day. You get what you got to have. And I tell you what, you and I need to realize God gave us everything it takes to survive. Even though it feels like we've had enough, we can't take no more. God says, yeah, you can. My grace is sufficient. Now what we may have to do is we may have to wait. That's going to be hard for us because we're not patient people. He says, you have to wait upon the Lord. In other words, you wait on God's time, you wait on God's movement, you wait on God, and then you're going to find out that you really wasn't weak, you're really strong. Your strength's going to be made perfect when you're weak. Let's stand and pray together.